So today's scripture is from a book called Luke, and it's a parable. And a parable is kind of a tricky thing to understand, but it's basically a story that Jesus tells us to try to convey something to us, to try to explain something to us. So let's listen to this story together, and maybe you can hear what Jesus is saying to you. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for the people of God. So I was waiting patiently at gate D8 in the terminal of the airport, and I watched as the gate agent boarded the plane. I'm sure you've all been there before. Parading triumphantly down the jetway were diamond medallion members, platinum medallion members, then gold and silver lesser medallion members, and then regular old Sky Miles members. They were soon followed by passengers in zone 1 and 2 and 3, and every so often I glanced down at my boarding pass to find the familiar zone 4 printed in bold. With just a few people left in the gate area, it was time for us riffraff to board the plane. As I walked down the center aisle, careful not to bump the already comfortable passengers with my backpack, I was greeted by harsh stares from first-class passengers holding glasses of champagne, and exasperated sighs from folks who had been waiting 15 long minutes already. When I finally reached my middle seat in the second-to-last row, the incredibly grumpy man in the aisle seat groaned and unbuckled his seatbelt, and standing to allow me to so graciously slide into the seat, he lamented, "I guess I'd better make room." I imagine that some of Jesus' followers had a similar begrudging attitude toward this parable we find in Luke's gospel. Luke's Jesus is one of table talk, one prone to sensitivity toward the oppressed and the marginalized, one who is constantly working on the Sabbath. I'd like to think that this story is a microcosm of who Jesus is according to Luke. For this parable is strikingly similar to much of what we hear throughout this book. This is Jesus living into Mary's Magnificat, enacting the words of Isaiah that he recites in the synagogue in chapter 4. In this passage, we find ourselves again meeting Jesus on the Sabbath day, preparing to dine in the home of a Pharisee. Surrounded by both friends and skeptics, Jesus stands in the threshold of the home and watches as guests file in and find places to sit. It's pretty easy for us to envision this scene, the social dance of finding the right seat near the right people, the seat that will allow us to network and make connections, the seat that keeps us from having to engage with the tasteless drama of the gathering, the Goldilocks seat, close to the action, but not too close. We, in fact, are the people of banquets, the people of privileged social locations, the people who have a place at the table, who save seats for our friends. Locating ourselves within the story is no difficult task. So how does Jesus' narrative shape our perspective? We might begin by recognizing the inherent connection in this text between Sabbath and hospitality. Here on this day of rest, Jesus seeks to open space, to make room for others to join the feast. He says, when you give a luncheon, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite those on the margins, those who are invisible, those who are experiencing burdensome life conditions. Hospitality, then, is not hosting a networking event disguised as a dinner party. Hospitality is not an industry comprised of sterile hotels with daily housekeeping or cruise ships with buffet lines where payment is given in expectation of great service. No, Jesus is clear. Hospitality is holding places, creating space, making room for people while expecting no return on investment, no reciprocal invitation, no conditions or claims. We need these words, this call to action, because our world is experiencing a major crisis of hospitality. On this particular July weekend, many in this nation are filled with pride, remembering a revolution of a far gone era. And yet, with talk of closing borders and retreating into our affinity groups, we have all lost sight of how we might make room for otherness, how we might celebrate our particularities and our differences. This crisis has resulted in jarring world events like the horrific shooting at Pulse nightclub in Orlando, the most recent terrorist attacks in Turkey, in Afghanistan, in Bangladesh, in Iraq, the impending British exit of the European Union, and the rise in Syrian refugees. We also see this crisis of hospitality in the continuing violence perpetrated against trans bodies, especially against transgender people of color. This crisis of hospitality has not only barred others from sitting at the table, it has resulted in the killing and silencing of children of God before they can even reach the room where the table is set. And yet, the triune God, the God in relationship, calls us to extend more than a begrudging invitation. More than, I guess I'd better make room. In this parable, Christ calls us to new and joyful relationships with one another. These are mutual relationships based on more than charity and caring for the needs of the poor and people with disabilities. Because Christ's calling is free from expectations of reciprocity, we are obliged to see people as people, as fellow guests at Christ's table. The grace given to us by God is grace meant to be shared abundantly over common bread and cup. Christ has set the table and invited all to this feast, and our obligation as guests is to continue to make this invitation known and to create space in the banquet hall. It is also our joy to recognize when space is created for us. Space to grow, to learn, to be challenged and transformed. Before we were even able to recognize it, someone else made room for us to sit at this table. Now, this is not to say that making room for others is or ever will be easy. Lived out hospitality is gritty and often unpleasant. It does not prescribe solutions to problems. It does not seek to fix people or situations, and it requires careful listening and self-humility. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Hospitality in practice is uncomfortable, awkward, difficult, risky, countercultural, and unpopular. St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Austin, Texas, where I am in school, has made room in their church building for Hilda Ramirez and her son Ivan to live safely, to shower, to cook, to sleep, to relax. Hilda and Ivan are from San Marcos, Guatemala, but they were forced to flee their home after facing threats of violence and extreme poverty. Arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border in 2014, hoping to find safety, Hilda was instead detained at the border and jailed at the Carnes Detention Center with her son in inhumane conditions for 11 months. There, Hilda participated in a courageous hunger strike with another 77 immigrant moms to shut down family detention centers. Eventually, Hilda was released on bond, but she continued to be threatened by deportation. St. Andrew's has provided both Hilda and Ivan a sanctuary as they seek legal asylum. This congregation is part of a broader movement, a broader call for radical hospitality, the New Sanctuary Movement. Many of you probably remember the original Sanctuary Movement in the 1980s. This is kind of a reprise of that movement. Churches all over the country are making room, creating space for families who need refuge because they face these threats of deportation. These congregations and the people within them are joyfully opening up their doors, moving beyond, "I guess I'd better make room," toward a celebration of the gifts of physical space that might be utilized, shared, and blessed by the presence of strangers who become friends. There is no expectation that Hilda and Ivan somehow pay back this generosity. Rather, the congregation at St. Andrew's will rejoice in solidarity when the family is granted asylum, when the hope of the resurrection is realized in a very personal way, and Hilda and Ivan are safe in their own dwelling place. As we prepare to celebrate communion today, I am particularly grateful that our denomination has sought ways to align our theology with our practices in terms of radical hospitality. At this year's General Assembly, an overture passed that begins the process of amending the Book of Order to add the following language. The opportunity to eat and drink with Christ is not a right bestowed upon the worthy, but a privilege given to the undeserving who come in faith, repentance, and love. All who come to the table are offered the bread and cup, regardless of their age or understanding. If some of those who come have not yet been baptized, an invitation to baptismal preparation and baptism should be graciously extended. Even those who doubt may come to the table in order to be assured of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. It may not seem like much to you, because in practice, this church has always had an open table. But amending this theology allows for people who have not yet experienced the power of baptism to come and share in this table, both in practice and in theology. Jesus' call to hospitality encompasses each and every aspect of our life together. All are welcome at this table. All are recognized as particularly gifted children of God. All have a right to Sabbath rest. All are given sanctuary. So, church, we'd better make some room. Thanks be to God. Amen.